Chapter 17, verses 22 to 28, and you can find that on your in your church Bible on page 771. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, 'We are his offspring.'" And the second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 to 27, and you can find that on your in your Bible on pages in page 797. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has place the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Oh, silence. Oops, I didn't realise I turned the microphone on. We're all good. We're getting there. Testing. I'll just keep gibbering while I move some stuff around up here. All good. Yeah, if you keep your Bibles open, one finger in one passage and one finger in the other. I'll keep talking and the sound guy will fix up the echo-ness. He's doing a great job, thanks. That's got it. If you're using technology, if you could figure out how to keep your finger in that too, that would be awesome. I'm nearly organised. Getting there. There's a whole bunch of people out there. Alrighty. I'll pray and hopefully get over some of my nerves, and then we'll take a look at this topic of self-reliance. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you are a loving and gracious God. Lord, we thank you that you made us to depend upon you, and we can through Christ Jesus. Thank you that you gave us one another, Lord, that we can serve and love each other and shine for the world around us as we do that. Lord, give us soft hearts now and open minds to receive your word. Help me to speak clearly, that you would be understood and that we would all benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Self-reliance is a goal of people these days, isn't it? Self-reliance is the goal of the world. A self-reliant person is someone who is confident and able to do the things they need to do. They're assertive. They can do it whether people like them or not. They're not needy in relationships. They're self-reliant. They're not emotionally draining, and they don't need physical help from people around them. Self-reliance is a great thing to be. You can read children's books on raising children to make them more self-reliant in the world that we live in. You can read self-help books that will give you tips and tricks on how to become more self-reliant so that you can function better in the world. See, self-reliance is the answer to the world's problems. If we were all a little bit more self-reliant, the world would be a much better place. But self-reliance flies in the face of two big biblical truths, doesn't it? It flies in the face of two big biblical truths. Self-reliance flies in the face of that we believe as Christians that we were made to be dependent on God. That he made us and we were made in his image and his likeness. And that we were made to depend upon him. We also believe that we were made to be interdependent, that we were made male and female, that we were made complementary to each other, that we were made to help each other out. But self-reliance asserts that I have everything I need inside of me. As some of you may be aware, reading and writing is not my strong point. I'm not very good at it at all. And over the years, people have helped me out with this by reading the Bible and other books to me, by reading forms and paperwork, and by helping me fill them out when I've needed them. And I'm very appreciative for all the help that I've received over the years. I'm very thankful for all the people who helped me with my reading and my writing. But what you may not be aware of is that I actually don't like it. I actually don't like it when people help me out. There's a piece of me deep down inside that actually really dislikes it. It makes me a little bit upset. In fact, I really actually hate it when people help me with my reading and writing. Why do I feel like that? Well, I feel like that because I believe the lie, don't I? I believe that I should be self-reliant. I believe the world, that I should be self-reliant. And when I'm not self-reliant, when I can't do something, well, then that makes me defective, doesn't it? It gives me feelings of guilt and shame because I'm not able to do something. It leaves me defective. See, the truth about self-reliance is it doesn't lead to someone who is confident and assertive. It actually leads us in the other direction. It leads us to being insecure. And it doesn't lead us to relating well to other people. It leads us to keeping people at arm's distance, not revealing the fact that we're incapable of doing some things. So we relate poorly to people around us. Instead of asking for help when we need it, we don't do it. We don't receive help. We don't accept offers for help when we need it. We certainly don't share things that we're not good at or that we need help with other people. Because all these things reveal that we're not self-reliant. They all reveal that we need help. They all reveal that we're defective, and that we, and it stirs up these feelings of guilt and shame. Have you ever had the experience of where you borrow something off someone for a long period of time? Maybe a lawnmower, maybe a Thermomix, maybe some textbooks, maybe it's just some golf clubs. You ever had the experience? You borrow it week in and week out, the item off someone. But eventually you come across the means to buy the item for yourself. It's such a good feeling to own that item, isn't it? In fact, it's such a good feeling, you often take it around to the person's house that you're borrowing it off, don't you? And show them, look, here's my mower. Here's my golf clubs. That's probably a baseball bat. Anyway. It's such a good feeling. Have you ever wondered why it's such a good feeling when you do that? It's because you're erasing your guilt and your shame. So you're now self-reliant again, aren't you? You own the thing. You're whole. That's why it feels so good. Self-reliance is very hard work. It burdens us and it leads to burnout. We get so weighed down with all the coping mechanisms we need to convince ourselves that we can be self-reliant. So hard work is it to do everything for ourselves and to keep people out and not realising that we aren't self-reliant. It's very tiresome and hard work. I think it's this tiresome and hard work that leads to another problem with self-reliance. Far be it that self-reliance leads to us being free to help other people. It actually leads us to being critical and harsh on people around us. Because we look around and see someone in need, someone who struggles through the same things that we do, and they need help often. We think, why don't they just do it? I have to do it. Everyone else has to do it. Why can't they just pull themselves up by their bootlaces and do it like everyone else? Back in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were just like this, and Jesus critiqued them quite harshly for this kind of attitude. In Luke 11, verse 47, Jesus says this to them, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they cannot hardly carry, and you yourselves do not lift a finger to help them out." You see, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were experts at being self-reliant. They were relying upon their own efforts to keep God's law so that they would get into the kingdom of God. And they expected everyone else to do the same. They were happy to tell them what they should do, but they wouldn't lift a finger to help them. Maybe you're like me. This is maybe the way you respond to being self-reliant. When you become deceived into thinking that you should be, you roll up your sleeves and you actually give it a go. You actually try and be self-reliant. There is another way that self-reliance can influence you and can impact the way you live. That is, you can believe that you should be self-reliant, but when you look around the world and you look inside yourself, you're actually aware that you can't. You become aware that you don't actually have the resources to be self-reliant. You just can't do it. You're deeply aware that you are defective and you can't do it. People like this often struggle with depression and anxiety. I think people like myself who give it a try appear to all intensive purposes to be self-reliant, and that compounds this issue. At this point, I just want to be clear. I don't think that the only thing that leads to depression and anxiety is the belief that you should be self-reliant. Depression and anxiety are complicated issues with many factors that go into it. But I just wanted to highlight that I think the belief that you should be self-reliant is one of those factors. But we don't actually believe as Christians that we're made to be self-reliant, do we? It's not what we believe. We believe that we're supposed to be dependent on God and interdependent on each other. And that's what the passage in Acts was describing to us this morning, the way that we are dependent on God. If you want to open your Bibles, back to Acts 17, I'll read from verse 24. Verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything. From one man he made all nations, that they would inhabit the whole world. And he marked out their appointed time in history and the boundaries of their land. He did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. You see, that's what we believe as Christians, isn't it? We believe that the God of the universe, the one that made everything, made us. Not only did he make us, but he sustains us. We get everything from him. He's marked out our days from beginning to end, where we will live, and he sustains us right down to our very breath, right here and now. That's what we believe as Christians. We believe that we depend upon God for everything, our life and everything that we do and are. We also believe that we were made to be interdependent. We were made to depend on God. When we trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we believe that we were given a new life and a new spirit. And this binds us together in a new people, in a new body, the body of Christ. And that's what was being described in our second passage today. If you want to turn over to the 1 Corinthians passage, I'll read from verse 12. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. That's what we believe, isn't it? We believe that we were made to be dependent on God and interdependent on each other. When we put our trust in Jesus, that we become one body. Although various people, God is joining us together to form his body in the world. Although there's not Greek and Jew and slave and free, but he is gathering a people of various races and nationalities, and he's putting us together in one body, in the body of Christ. And we're all different and unique. We all are a different part in the body. We all play a different role. And that's what it goes on to describe further down in verse 17, where it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. You see, when you depend on God and you take up your part in the body to be interdependent on each other, you no longer need to worry about what you're good at or not good at, because we're all different parts. God has made us to be different. We don't all need to be an eye or an ear. We don't all have to be the left toe. Left toe? It doesn't work. How about the little toe on the left foot? That works. We can all be different, and we can all play a different part in the body. The goal is that the body functions together and is united. That's what it describes further down, that although we're all different and unique in the part of the body in which we play, we're still all equal and significant. We all still play the part that we have to play. From verse 24, it says this, "Whilst the presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part." You see how good it is to be part of the body of Christ. See how much better it is to be interdependent than need to depend upon yourself. My strength and my weaknesses are there to serve and make sure that the body functions. No longer is my weakness to my shame, but it is to God's glory. The ability to let someone help me out, identifies Jesus' love in the world around us. We're all made special. We're all unique, and we have our own gifts and abilities. And they are to serve each other and to be mindful of each other, that the body of Christ would serve its function in the world. We're also set free. Did you notice? We don't have to serve in the ways that we're necessarily good at. Because I'm free from the fear of failure, it sets me free to be able to love people in ways that I don't necessarily know whether I'm good at. It allows us to step out and try new things, serve in ways that we wouldn't necessarily think we were good at. Because if we fail, well, it's not to my shame anymore. It's not attached to who I am. But instead, we can step out and serve the body of Christ. And when we do this, we demonstrate Jesus' love to the world around us. We demonstrate how loving he is by the way we look after each other. John 13:35 puts it this way, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So the purpose of the body is that we would love each other and be seen by the world around us, that people would see the way that we love and care for each other and know that that is the way that, God's love for the world. But how do we live out this dependent and interdependent life? How is it that we get to this point? Well, the answer is back in our first passage, in the Acts passage that we read this morning. What we need to do is acknowledge what self-reliance does, where it leaves us. Did you see the problem of what self-reliance does to our relationship with God? I'll read it again from verse 26. So Acts 17, starting at verse 26. "From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. So, and he marked out their appointed time in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." You see, God made us and gave us everything that we would have a relationship with him, that we would reach out and that we would seek him. But the problem is when we are self-reliant, we break that relationship. We're separated from him. In our self-reliance, we take the gifts that God has given us and we confuse them for our own and we ignore him. We need to reach out for him is what the passage says, because we're separated from the one who sustains us and gives us life. The NIV translation does a good job at showing how we're separated from God through our self-reliance. But it probably doesn't go far enough to show the depth of the problem that self-reliance causes, the depth
and the distance in the relationship break. The ESV actually renders reach out as grope for. See, the image there is not that we need in our self-reliance to just reach out for God and depend upon him. No, the image there is that we're actually lost, groping around in the dark. In our self-reliance, we're not only just separated from God, but we're quite lost in the dark to even try and find him. So we don't need to reach out for God. We need to be rescued for God. And that's what God did in Jesus. God sent Jesus into the world whilst we were still sinners to save us from our self-reliance, to save us from our sins. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven for our sin of self-reliance. We need to trust Jesus to forgive us for our sin of self-reliance and all our other sins. We need not to be so self-reliant as to think that we should just spit and polish our sin up a little bit before we take it to him. But we should trust that Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient for any and all of our sins. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. See, we need this relationship with God because we are dependent on him for everything. When we take up the offer of forgiveness of our sins through Jesus, we have this restored relationship with God. We can rely upon him for everything. And we should take up that offer and reciprocate that relationship. We should respond in thankfulness because of everything he's done for us. We should read our Bible and listen to what he says. We should talk to him in prayer with thankfulness and gratitude. I think that's a real key thing to turn away from self-reliance. It's very hard to rely upon the gifts God's given you and confuse them for your own if you're thankful for God for them each day. We need to step out in trust, trusting that God really is able to, that we really can depend upon him and he really can sustain us. We need to trust that God has arranged the body of believers around us that we can be interdependent with them, that he's actually arranged them just the way he wants them, that we can approach our gospel communities and our Bible study groups and our church family in a manner that we serve them and allow them to serve us. We can go to DNAs and we can share our struggles and issues, that we can receive help there from other people, that we can acknowledge when we need help, and we can accept help from other people in our gospel community when we need it. And we can do all this to God's glory. We can do this to God's glory. For the way we allow people to love us shows God's love to the world around us. Now, sure, probably not going to do it perfect just yet. I'm sure that the hand is probably going to dribble a little bit of milk down the chin occasionally. And I'm sure the right foot is occasionally probably going to stub a toe along the way. I'm not sure whether it's the foot's fault or the eye's fault, but never mind. The reality is that we need to be gracious and loving when these things happen. That we would shine Jesus' love to the world around us. That as we allow people to love us and serve us in our gospel communities, that other people in our community around us would see, in our town around us would see Jesus' love. That they might see the emptiness and the tiredness and burdensome of needing to be self-reliant. They might see a better way to live, a way where they can live dependent on God and interdependent on each other. Let's pray that we'd be those kind of people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you're a loving and kind God. Lord, we thank you that you made us and sustain us. We thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to keep us alive forever. Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust you and depend upon you for everything. That we would trust that you have arranged the body of believers around us, that they would help us and that we would be complementary and help them. That the way we would love each other and allow people to love us would impact the world around us. that we would show the emptiness and futility of their self-reliance, and they would reach out for you. Help us, Lord, to have the words to express your love to them in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.